Thanks for joining us on the JX today. We'll get back into the Supreme Court ruling on the Grants Pass versus Johnson case. The interpretation from lower courts was that rousting homeless people from camping on public property without a shelter to go to was cruel and unusual punishment. Not so, said the Supreme Court. The ruling gives local governments greater power to tell homeless people to pack up and move on, destination unknown. The Western Regional Advocacy Project, RAP, based in San Francisco, works on behalf of homeless people. Paul Bowden is RAP's executive director and our guest once again. Paul, welcome back.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me back on.
You bet. We also have with us Helen Cruz, a Grants Pass resident who was homeless for 5 years there. Welcome, Helen.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Helen, I was looking at some other interviews you gave to media outlets, and it appears you were dreading this decision. Was there any particular surprise in the outcome?
You know, it was a hard blow for the homeless community of Grants Pass. You know, it took a lot of hope and just stripped it away from them, because now the uncertainty of what's going to happen and where they're going to go is even more so, you know, kind of like in their face now. And they're very, you know, they're uneasy about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Paul Bowden, how about you? I mean, were you expecting what you got from the Supreme Court?
Unfortunately, I've been doing this for 41 years. So, yeah, I was expecting it. It still hurt. It's still pretty rotten. The message it sends when the Supreme Court, you know, sides with Chevron and their friends and wipes out the EPA, gives Trump immunity and says it's OK to incarcerate people that are living unhoused or that you just don't want to see in public space anymore. In prison for being poor. That's not a totally new concept in this country, that we lock up poor people at a massive rate. It just allows the government to take off the gloves even more so and say, the problem of homelessness is I see people living unhoused. So if I can make them disappear, and we've used prisons to make Black people disappear, to make disabled people disappear. Well, now it's carte blanche to use prisons and jails and the criminal justice system to try to make homelessness disappear. And it ain't been working so far, and it isn't going to work now, but tons and tons of people are going to be humiliated, disgraced, and dehumanized because we don't fund affordable housing for poor people. We choose to subsidize housing for homeowners.
Let's talk about that, because you've mentioned that before, that one of the major changes that you see is contributing to homelessness in America was the change in funding for public housing.
Well, I mean, it's looking at the cause and effect scenarios of the Reagan Revolution. And when you defund affordable housing, people that were living in those affordable housing units are going to end up in the street. That's why they were created in the first place in 1937 to address massive contemporary homelessness in the 30s. We created public housing to give people a decent place to live regardless of their income. Reagan Revolution comes along, we wipe it out. Hope 6 comes along and we destroy those units. And since 94, the federal government has eliminated 487,000 units of public housing, and then we wonder why people are out in our freaking streets. It's cause and effect. It's simple if we would just look at it from that perspective.
Paul Bowden,
we do $160 billion subsidizing housing for homeowners. We call it economic stimulus. We do $37 billion subsidizing housing for poor people, and we say we can't afford it.
Paul Bowden's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director of RAP, the Western Regional Advocacy Project, advocating for homeless people up and down the West Coast. He's a guest with us to talk about the Grants Pass ruling from the Supreme Court on homeless people, along with Helen Cruz, who was homeless in Grants Pass for 5 years. If you have some thoughts you've been waiting to let us know about, then put them on an email to jx@jeffnet.org. Two letters, jx@jeffnet.org. Helen, you were telling NBC News it's an absolute nightmare to be homeless in Grants Pass. How long were you homeless in Grants Pass?
I was homeless in Grants Pass for off and on, you know, probably since 2013, mm-hmm. 2016. And, you know, what makes it the nightmare is the law enforcement over here, just they don't care. The city makes up their own ordinances for the homeless. We are supposed to be out of sight, out of mind. We are shunned by the community here. Anything that makes our life worse is what they're all about. And, you know, it's pretty dehumanizing, you know, when you get sprinklers turned on, and, you know, in the middle of the night, and they do it intentionally just so, you know, all your stuff gets soaked. And then you have to move the next day, knowing that there's no possible way that, you know, you could even, you know, move all your bedding and your tent and everything like that. And they know it makes it harder. So anything that they could do to make it harder for us here in Grants Pass that are homeless, they will do it.
How much did you owe in fines to the city of Grants Pass?
You know, my very first ticket I got was for $2,000. That was for camping in the park because I was literally like laying on a blanket with my backpack as my pillow. And I fell asleep and I woke up to two officers and they gave me a ticket for my dogs and for camping in the park. And it's not like my dogs were running out wild or anything. They were with me. So it's been about $5,000 plus.
And have you paid them or are they still sitting there?
Oh, no. They sent them to collections. They have completely destroyed my credit. They give you tickets after ticket after ticket, and they know you can't pay them. And eventually, you know, they know it's gonna take a toll on you. You know, I would like to start my own business because I clean houses, but I can't because my credit's shot because of all these tickets that are on my credit score.
What do you hear from people still living on the streets about next steps, about what they think is going to happen next?
They are in absolute uncertainty. They're in fear. When the ruling came down, they were all on edge. They were in a fight or flight mode. They didn't know whether they were going to go to jail. They still don't know whether they're going to go to jail or not. You know, because a lot of them out here don't understand or they don't have the voice or the knowledge to, you know, comprehend some things. And so I've pretty much been the voice for them here and let them know, you know, what's going on and try to explain it in layman terms. But they're pretty uneasy right now.
Paul Bowden, been discussion, it seems like, in cities up and down the West Coast anyway about changes are not going to be immediate. Now, Oregon also has that law passed a couple of years ago that there have to be objectively reasonable standards for homeless people. I mean, does that change anything for people living homeless in Oregon versus the other states on the West Coast?
I mean, what I've seen is a ton of mayors talking about, well, we're not mean to them, but all these other cities are going to be mean to them, and we're going to become a magnet. And it reminds me so much of back in the 80s when communities didn't want to open shelter systems because they didn't want to be a magnet. And so it's just this scenario of these aren't actual human beings we're talking about. These aren't people that have every right in the world to go from place to place or to be in the place that they choose to live. We don't want them here, so we're going to make... And that was the Grant Pass mayor's comments to the Supreme Court. And it's amazing to me that it worked for them. We don't want... We want to make them so uncomfortable that they'll leave. And we're talking about people. And so we're seeing it again and again and again, where it's, we as a community need to be as mean as we possibly can be to certain aspects of our community so that they won't choose to stay here and they'll leave if they're already living here. And that's just a crazy concept for governance of a community.
Paul Bowden,
we're only talking about certain people that we choose to want to be living in our community.
Paul Bowden, the executive director of RAP, the Western Regional Advocacy Project, supporting homeless people in the West. Helen Cruz is also on the line with us, homeless in Grants Pass for 5 years, no longer homeless at the moment. You can join us with emails to jx@jeffnet.org. Paul, the idea that cities are just inundated or overrun, or in the words of California Governor Gavin Newsom, paralyzed by homeless people, how would you describe the situation?
Oh, Gavin, he's such a... I mean... cities were claiming to be overrun by poor people, by black people, by disabled people. So they did the ugly laws. They did, you know, like these are people first and foremost. And if homelessness is overwhelming, then our governance structure needs to look at how come it is that our DNA didn't change. Helen and I didn't just decide to go sleep out in the streets because it's so much better than living in a place. You know, something structurally happened in the early 80s that we opened up temporary emergency shelter facilities. 41 years later, they're still the primary housing stock for poor people in America. And clearly that approach is not working. So let's go back to trying funding the homes that we got rid of, the public housing that we've destroyed. Let's try that for a change. Because those units weren't sitting empty, and the people that were living in them are now out in our streets.
So that's the biggest single thing, more housing for people with lower incomes.
Absolutely.
I mean, ultimately, we need to get to the racism and classism that created that whole structure. But if you want to talk about homelessness, nothing ends homelessness like a home.
Helen, you were about to jump in there, too. Let me hear your perspective.
Yeah, you know, the city of Grants Pass and the city council over here, you know, we were allotted $9.37 million of American Rescue Plan money for affordable housing and public health. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They have done everything else with that money except affordable housing. I see houses going up all over the place in separate communities around Grants Pass, and there is not one that anybody that is homeless could even barely afford, or even anybody with, you know, a regular job or even two jobs would be able to afford. They want to put $11 million towards a city pool to rebuild it, to put a brand new one in, but they can't build houses for the homeless here. It is absolutely mind-blowing to me.
Helen, what were the conditions that led to you being homeless in the first place?
I was in a bad relationship and I slipped into a coma, and the guy pretty much left me with nothing but the clothes on my back. When I woke up, there was nobody there, and I called him and he said, "You got to start somewhere," and hung up on me.
Wow. So you're out of that situation.
Where people get lost is they think that any city in and of itself is going to end homelessness. And homelessness wasn't created by any particular city. It was created by a federal funding stream for affordable housing that was decimated. So I think to have cities in the absence, like you haven't heard homelessness in the presidential campaign ever. And yet it's the number one issue in every mayor's race. The mayors need to band together and get the federal government to get back in the job of ensuring housing for all people in this country, regardless of their income.
We have an email here from Andy in Ashland who writes, Mr. Bowden is absolutely correct in his analysis of the cause and effect of our housing crisis. Central government needs to release local governments from over-relying on land revenues by reforming the taxation system, which is the primary mechanism of wealth redistribution. That from Andy in Ashland. Thanks for that. What do you see happening in the near future, Paul? We have a minute left here.
I think we should have equity. If we're doing $160 billion for homeowners, then we should be doing $160 billion for poor people. If housing is good for one segment of the community, then, hey, it's probably good for all of us.
All right. Helen, what do you see happening in the near future?
You know, what I pray and I hope happens is that city council and the governments will set aside the political red tape and realize that affordable housing is what is needed, not only for Grants Pass, but across the United States. And they need to get their game together and make something happen. There's a lot of nobody should be out there the way they are. It's heartbreaking.
All right. Thanks so much for sharing your thoughts with us today. Helen Cruz was homeless in Grants Pass for 5 years. I very much appreciate you talking to us today.
Thank you.
Paul Bowden, the executive editor of RAP, the Western Regional Advocacy Project. Thank you for your determination and your sense of history.
All right. Thanks.
You bet.
Take
and
care.
Yeah. And let me point out, too, that what Paul was talking about, the ugly laws of the 1920s, those are worth looking up. This is a post-World War I thing for people who were disfigured in battle. And he's completely right about that and a lot of other things as well. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. Mike Green's up next to talk about search and rescue. Stand by.